From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
And we're back with you after a very emotional week in Kansas City with what happened at Union Station. And we're going to get into all of that from several different angles here on Dale Carter's America, the podcast with Kurt Wheeler. I'm Dale. And Kurt, how can they find us?
Yes, thank you for tuning in. If you're watching this on video, that's the best place to find us on YouTube and Rumble. Make sure you subscribe, drop a comment, drop a thumbs up. It really helps us with the algorithm. It helps new people see it. You can also find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your audio podcasts. And then make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as well. Facebook is where most of the action is.
Right. Help us spread the word. You know, this is a crazy world that we're living in, and it gets crazier and crazier, as we saw last week at Union Station, televised nationally, too, by the way. So Kansas City is on the map as one of the most violent cities in America. Help us spread the word so that we can talk about reasonable solutions to things and finding a way forward as we continue to navigate these waters that we're in. A guy who can help you and has your back in the insurance world is my friend Bob Watson, Blue Springs local State Farm agent for 5 decades. He's at 7th and Main in Blue Springs. A lot of folks are going through the rate check thing. State Farm, it's one of the big names in insurance. It may be the biggest name in insurance, but they've got surprisingly great rates. And with Bob's team on your side, you're going to get the best rates and the best service when you need the service. 816-229-7878, auto, home, life, commercial insurance. Hey, warmer weather's coming. The boats are going to be out there. You want insurance on that. Anything you can insure, Bob Watson and his team can get it done for you. Licensed in Missouri and Kansas, put Bob Watson and his team to work for you. You know, who else is on our team is Tammy Ash. Tammy does T-shirts. And she does the swag for Dale Carter's America. Many of you have bought either coffee mugs or T-shirts or things like that. She's also there when, you know, the town is in crisis, as it is right now. And I'm wearing this shirt. Tammy designed it. You like that?
With yeah,
the
nice.
Ribbon.
Yeah, it's nice.
And the KC logo on it. She has several different designs. This is the one that I picked out. And Tammy is ready to get a shirt done for you. And the proceeds from these shirts will go to victims of the shooting last Wednesday in Kansas City. All of the victims that are still at Children's Mercy, to the fund that supports the DJ who was killed. And just a terrible, terrible event that happened here in Kansas City. And when things like that happen, we do come together as a town. And I've had a lot of compliments on this shirt today. And Tammy is the person who can get that for you. Do we have her hookup?
I'm looking for it right now. I know that it's on our Facebook page.
But yeah, we do. It is on the Facebook page. So if we don't get the hookup here in time, just know to go to Dale Carter's America on Facebook. And we have that pinned at the top, I believe, so that you can find it easily. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll find the link and
Put
it up on the screen once I find it.
All right. So obviously the celebration that we had turned deadly, and I'm going to use the word thugs, and I'm okay using the word thugs. Mayor Quentin Lucas doesn't like that word. He says there are racial overtones to it. But you may recall when Officer Vasquez was killed in North Kansas City, he pulled over a white person who had an expired tag. And that person opened up on Officer Vasquez and killed him. I referred to that white gentleman as a thug. So in my world, and Dale Carter's America is my world. I mean, if you want to agree or disagree, it's still my world. And it's my opinion. And my opinion on this is when you commit a gun crime, when you commit mayhem at a celebration that the city is having, you're a thug. And the mayor doesn't like it, does he?
No. No, we'll play the clip. Unfortunately, you know, everything has to be made into a racial statement, and it's just,
well, with him it does.
Ridiculous. So this was I believe this was on KCUR.
It was
sometime in the past few days.
Right.
A little beef between him and the governor, who, you know, he was at the parade with the governor. Right. I mean, he spoke and the governor spoke.
Well,
so
let's,
I'm sure
before you
all
play
buddy.
This clip, let's point out a couple of things. When the shots rang out, Quentin Lucas, who has a armed detail with him, ran.
Yeah.
Okay.
As he should.
Mike Parson, the governor of this state, was a sheriff at one point. And there were people in that crowd, you say, should have run. The reason that this wasn't a hell of a lot worse than it could have been was because of people in uniform and civilians who basically jumped on top of these thugs.
Can I cut to that since we're talking about it? Because I have, there was two guys in particular, and there's a video of him talking about it here. This is one of the guys here. And then to the right, you'll see the actual video of them tackling the shooter. This was the guy with the rifle, the shooter. So he was running with a rifle, and these two guys tackled him. So they deserve all the credit in the world. People on Twitter were saying, you know, they should never have to pay for a beer again, get them season tickets, you know, get them an authentic Super Bowl ring, all that stuff. But let's watch this.
One guy was hollering and saying, you know, stop him. Or catch him, you know, tackle him, whatever. And he's just bailing running. And out of nowhere, I heard that guy hollering. So I'm just like, okay, well, I'm right here. And I didn't think about it. It just a reaction. I didn't hesitate. It was just do it. So I went to go tackle him, and another gentleman did the same thing. And as I'm tackling him, I see his weapon either fall out of his hand or out of his sleeve, because he was wearing a long jacket or like a Carhartt. So when I seen that hit the ground, I'm like, oh, you know, we got to take this guy down. And so, like I said, I did, and another good Samaritan did, and we held him down. And it seemed like forever, but it probably wasn't. It was like 30 seconds holding him down, and me and the other gentleman are hollering at ongoers, you know, where's the cops? Get the cops over here. Get the cops over here. You know, we got him.
I would call that guy a hero.
100%.
I wonder what Quentin Lucas would call him.
I don't know.
I mean, did he hurt the guy when he tackled him? You know, did he hurt him? Did he bruise him? Did he pull a hamstring on him? I mean, you know, we got to worry about the criminals here, because that's the way it looks to me anyway. It's like, you know, criminal rights. That's the world is upside down.
By the way, we always talk about what's the name of the shooter, what's the name of the victims, and that is important, but this guy's name that tackled the shooter, his name is Paul Contreras. Paul Contreras.
Way to go, Paul.
So remember that name, you know, as well, and make sure that, you know, we take care of Paul, because and the other guy who I can find his name too. But
well, our governor, you know, had the temerity to refer to these guys who shot up an event of celebration in our town as thugs, and the mayor took issue.
Here we go.
He's going to join us later on in this program. After the shooting, he said, we can't let some thugs and criminals just take over and ruin what happened. I gather that's not quite your assessment of what happened that day.
I have respect for the governor. We get along well. I disagree strongly with how he would describe that situation. I certainly do think this was criminal activity. It was lawlessness. And I think that that's troubling. But thugs is a dog whistle in the most classic sense. And I have seen this dog whistle time and again. There's this kind of giant conservative theory on social media now that the reason that mugshots haven't been shown is because the purported defendants are black. And if it were a white defendant, we would have just shown them. That is absolutely preposterous. There are protections to juveniles. Our city has a gun violence problem.
Yeah, your city has a gun violence problem. You set a record for murders last year, and it's not getting any better. In fact, that murder that happened at the big event at the Super Bowl party was well publicized. There were 6 murders last week, 5 of them buried like cat turds. That's what happens in your city, Mayor Lucas, while you wring your hands and say, we need another gun control law. It's a gun problem. It's not. It's a crime problem. It's a criminal problem. It's a prosecution problem. You're the problem.
Yeah. And just the way that he, like, the tone of his voice and the way that he talks about these
dismissive
things, it's so dismissive. And it, you know, policy is one thing and it is important, but you can tell a lot about what policy priorities somebody has by just listening to the way that they speak. And it's also on the interviewer, because the interviewer goes out of their way to ask him about it, you know, to bring it up, like they're making an issue out of it too, obviously. But you know, he says, well, yeah, you know, it's criminal. It's bad behavior. But, you know, and he's like so dismissive of it. He's like, yep, I know it's criminal behavior. It's a bad thing. But, you know, this is a racist dog whistle. And then his voice gets all excited, you know, when he talks about that. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. He's being so dismissive of the real issue. And he's obviously not paying attention to or not doing anything about the crime or who's committing the crime. You know, we're going to hear from our guest in a little bit that it's possible that at least one of these shooters had a very long record, which is a big problem that we have in our city as well. So it's just very, very sad and very troubling to see this from the mayor.
Well, and one of my friends, coworkers here at KFKF, Sally Wheeler, pointed out to me that the etymology of the word thug, you can find it in Mark Twain literature, and it references a group of people from the country of India who were known as thuggies, a roving gang of criminals. You know, when you commit crimes like this and mayhem and you use a gun, you're a thug. I don't care what color you are.
Yeah.
It's not a racist dog whistle. It's what you are.
And are we really at the point where, like, after a celebratory parade is shot up by violent criminals, we're worried about what words people are going to use?
Yes, he is.
Give me a freaking break. Yeah. Like, how about let's worry about the criminals? How about I'll call them whatever the hell I want to?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just miss me with that BS. I'm sorry. But here's the thuggies. So,
all right.
You know, it's racist against Indians from the 17th century or whatever it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to disagree with the mayor on a lot. We'll see how we agree or disagree with Phil Lavota, who is our special guest coming up. He is a private practice attorney in the Kansas City area and a former Jackson County prosecutor. He worked in the prosecutor's office. In fact, known for prosecuting murders. Maybe you've seen him on CNN. He wrote a book about it. He's a very famous guy in terms of prosecuting crime in Kansas City. I'm curious to find out what his views are, and we'll find those out next. We have special guest Phil Lavota with us on the podcast. Welcome to Dale Carter's America.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You bet. Former Jackson County prosecutor, now a private practice attorney, and hopefully able to help us make some sense out of what's going on here with what happened on Wednesday at Union Station. We have two in custody right now.
Two in custody.
And they are juveniles.
They're juveniles.
And that changes the whole landscape of what happened.
Exactly. You have to remember, in Missouri, you have to be 17 years old to be an adult. And it's confusing because you have to be 18 to join the military, 21 to drink. But in Missouri, it's one of the fewer states that you have to be 17. So we know that the suspects are below the age of 17. We don't know how. It's 12 to 17 is when you're a minor. So they have been charged in juvenile court with some weapons charges and resisting arrest. Usually it's good to charge someone with something, because if you don't charge them within 24 hours, you have to let them go.
Yeah.
So we do know that they've been charged in juvenile court.
Okay. There's another story that's out there from last month dealing with Crown Center and some shootings that happened there, and the FOP. I'm not sure if you're up on this, but the FOP basically shamed Gene Peters Baker into making some sort of a statement about where that stands right now and whether these two things might be connected. We have a serious problem in this town.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And this is unfortunate that it happened, but it also is showing everybody this gun crime touches everyone. And if you live in Olathe or Blue Springs or somewhere, you might not see it as much, but it is a serious crime that their eyes are on it now.
Yeah. The young lady who was murdered, that was not the first murder of the week. In fact, by the end of the week, we had six murders in Kansas City. So this is an epidemic that's going on. What are your thoughts on it? I mean, what's the core issue at play here, and how can we fix it?
Well, I think that if you get politically into it, you're going to have two sides saying, one, it's gun control, one is this. And I think it's bigger than that. It's the responsibility of what's going on in our community, of why are these younger adults turning to violence and carrying guns and that. There's no easy answer to it. I think that our police department, especially KCPD, they work hard. And they're locking some people up. And then they're frustrated because they're out the next day.
Right.
And we need a little bit stronger prosecution, I think. But again, each one is a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. We have a myriad of laws on the books, right, for gun crimes. And, you know, when I saw a picture of the gun that was used on Wednesday, that's clearly an illegal gun used in an illegal way. to me, it comes down to enforcement. And what I'm seeing in the bigger cities, you know, we've had guns for a long time in this country, but this is happening in the bigger cities where you've got people running around with guns, they're shooting people, they're committing crimes. And like you just said, the frustration for the police department is they get turnstiled out the next day.
Yes, I was speaking with someone on the Broadway Neighborhood Association yesterday, and they're pretty frustrated because in the Uptown Theater in the parking lot, they had some guys that had an AK-47 or something, and they never heard what happened to them. And they're frustrated, so they're going to reach out and send a letter to Jeans Peter Baker and to Quentin Lucas and say, how can you help us? And so that's what it's the desperation that I think community's feeling too. Like, why is this happening, and why aren't our elected officials or somebody doing it?
Yeah. You mentioned Blue Springs, and you know I was on city council for three terms in Blue Springs. And when I ran for mayor, I mean, I ran on the issue of public safety, because we can't have any sort of a civilization until we have public safety that we can rely on. Right?
Without a doubt.
Everything flows from that. And yet, if you talk to Quentin Lucas and Jean Peters Baker, for that matter, Quentin Lucas is going to tell you it's all about the guns. And can we just get one more gun law on the books? In fact, he's upset with Governor Parson, and I assume he's upset with me if he listened to my show on KFKF, because I've referred to these folks as thugs. And he says that's a racial dog whistle.
No, they're thugs. These guys involved are down there at Crown Center the day we're celebrating the Chiefs' win with all these families, and they even have guns with them. They're thugs.
Yeah.
There are some simple reasons that politicians think it's just about guns, and it's just not. On the right or on the left, politically where you are, it's not that simple. So if you're Mayor Lucas and you think the only solution is to more gun legislation, that's not it. Might be part of it, but it's not the only solution.
Didn't they break like a dozen laws on Wednesday?
Oh, without a doubt.
Just enforce those laws.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, mind you, we have some issues at the state level where the state legislature has kind of handcuffed the county and city on doing some different type of gun laws. Then also about enforcing that and working with federal agencies on enforcing those gun laws too, that can be problematic sometimes, but it's not that simple. This is never solved. As a prosecutor, homicide prosecutor for years, and every gun that was involved in any homicide prosecuted was a stolen one. It wasn't the issue of someone that went and bought the gun and then did something wrong.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to start working on just gun issues, it's not that simple.
I get that on the left, and you have to know where I come from. I'm not a gun guy. I don't have them. I've made that choice, but I have that choice under the Second Amendment. I just think my family is safer by not having firearms. Maybe I shouldn't advertise that fact. If the other side gets their way, it seems to me the ultimate conclusion of that is repeal of the Second Amendment. And if you get all the way to there and you repeal the Second Amendment, in my mind, all you've done is created the biggest black market for guns in the history of the world.
I would agree somewhat to that. I think there's a middle ground. And what I believe, I've been a Democrat all my life. I was a chairman of the county party and involved in politics. But I'm a lot more moderate than a lot of my Democrat friends like. And what I believe is that we're more and more, most of them are more moderate. We want safe streets. We want good schools. We want good jobs. That's what we want. But I think some gun control doesn't always lead to taking all the guns away. So there's a middle ground, but neither side wants to give up any room on that. And that's a problematic. If we can find a moderate bipartisan issue to some things, background checks are a good common sense thing to deal with in the gun issues. But I don't know we can ever get to that middle ground where each side gives up a little bit of their turf, if that makes sense.
Well, here's the problem, though. Law-abiding gun owners will follow the law. Criminals, by their very nature, will not follow the law.
You're right. And that's what I agree with some of my friends on the right. That is true. I'm of the opinion that an AK-47 that a guy has living in St. Joseph has AK-47, he says he's going to shoot deer. I don't know that that's something they need to have a gun that you're going to kill people with. However, you have a gun to protect yourself. I think it's within your constitutional rights to have that, and we shouldn't ever infringe upon that.
Yeah. You talked about bipartisanship. The Missouri House, in a bipartisan way, just passed a bill that says no more celebratory gunfire. I don't feel any safer with that bill passed. Do you?
No. We passed legislation down Jeff City to deter actions, and I don't think anyone who is drunk on a Chiefs game goes out and shoots a gun is thinking about, oh, the legislature just passed this bill. It does help to prosecute in the future. You know, we had a case years ago where a little girl was shot by some 4th of July shooting.
Right.
And that came to help with that law. But you're right. Some of these laws, the thugs, they aren't reading the legislature. They aren't reading the bills that come out signed on August 28th, what's going to be enforced next year. They're not seeing those.
Yeah. You know what has formed my opinion on this, and you may remember this, there was an old TV spot, and I think it was for the NRA. And the NRA takes a lot of slings and arrows on stuff like this, but I would almost guarantee you it's not NRA members that are causing this mayhem that we're seeing in the cities. But the NRA commercial was a politician at a lectern patting himself on the back, like all these politicians do whenever they pass the next gun control law. And then it panned out to like a dingy apartment and some guy eating a TV dinner who looked like a thug, right? And he's just laughing. And that formed my opinion on this. We can pass whatever law we want, but criminals will, at the end of the day, still be criminals.
You're exactly right. But we can't not pass new laws. We can't find a problem and try and pass it. And maybe some of it gets enforced. Maybe somebody realizes, I can't do that, shouldn't. Maybe some behavior will be changed.
All right. What about these juveniles? I keep hearing that they may be charged as adults. I'm hearing that maybe their parents might be charged. What's the story
with
that?
So the process is that the juvenile court will have a hearing on certification as an adult. And the juvenile court, family court judge, I think it's Judge Phillips, who's a former prosecutor and a great judge, she'll evaluate, if it's her, it might not be her, but she's the one assigned to family court. She'll look at the seriousness of the crime, the age of the offender, and any past criminal behavior they have. Now, I'm told that at least one of the juveniles has a tremendous criminal background. So once that hearing is done, that judge or the family court will certify them as adult. Now they're standing in the same shoes as any other adult facing adult charges. Then that becomes the Jackson County prosecutor's job to then charge them with an adult crime. So this certification hearing could happen today, could happen next week. With all eyes on this thing, I would think it's going to happen sooner than not. But once they are certified, and again, it's frustrating because we can't hear anything. We don't see anything because of juveniles. And you know, under the theory that they're still children, they should be protected. The juvenile court system is supposed to be for rehabilitation. They do something wrong and we don't, it's not public, and maybe they can learn from that. So it's frustrating because by now, in any other shooting, we'd know their names, their criminal background, we'd know the charges, we'd be reading the probable cause to know what the investigation showed, why they're shooting. So once they are certified, then that will all be public knowledge, and we'll get to see them, and we'll get to hear exactly why police think the shooting went on. Yeah. So it's frustrating to not have that information right now, especially for the victims and the families. Like, what's going on here?
Right. My 30,000-foot view level, and when I say this, I come into Westport every morning about 2:45. So you see a very interesting clientele that's out. They're not all going to work like I am at 2:45 in the morning. I see them in their hoodies and slouched down in the vehicle, and I've got my head on a swivel, you know, 24/7. And we just set the record for murders in Kansas City. We're on pace to probably blow right by that this year as well. What is your take on Jean Peters Baker? She gets a lot of slings and arrows for being soft on crime. It just seems like, and I think the FOP would back this up, they feel like they bust these people and they're right back out on the street. Is she soft on crime?
You know, I'll tell you this. I worked with Jean when I was in the prosecutor's office. I think she came in. I think she was in the family support division. Then she went and she was on the legislature. And then she came back and got appointed to the job. I think that she has taken her own philosophy and ideology as a prosecutor. One thing I adamantly disagree with her about is the relationship with the police department. In my years as a prosecutor, my best friends were police department because we were partners. They did all the hard work of getting it, and they brought it to me to prosecute. And if you can't do it without them. I'm hopeful that the relationship with the prosecutor's office and especially KCPD and law enforcement has changed and gotten better. But over the years, I've heard that it wasn't. So that's one thing I have disagreed with Gene on. It's like the police department aren't just part of the system. They're part of your team. Do we watch Law and Order? I mean, they say the cops do it. The prosecutors do that. So I to say that she's soft on crime, I don't know enough about her policy decisions in her office. It's been a while since they're on. A lot of the people that I worked with aren't there anymore. But I adamantly disagree with any sort of animosity with the police department. And that's what I've heard from my law enforcement friends. Like, you know, she's not listening to us or not doing this. Don't know it's true, but that's what I'm hearing. And that should be quashed. They should be hand in hand.
That's what I hear, too. I mean, I would get behind Mayor Quentin Lucas 100% if he would go out and make a speech that says, we're done with all this, and if you commit a crime with a gun, we are going to prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law. He won't say that.
He should. He should, because that's the frustration, is that, as you said, there were other murders that happened that week, too. We didn't hear about them, but there were gun murders that happened on 39th and Prospect. And there should be... And I know the police department takes it, if it's a gun crime, they take it seriously.
Yeah.
But the prosecutor's office should not have any sort of indecision on whether to prosecute a gun crime. You commit a crime with a gun, you should face the fullest prosecution.
The day after what happened at Union Station, this was on the wire. Around 12:30 this morning, officers responded to several calls of shots fired at 112th and Booth. When they arrived, they found a man in the front yard suffering from gunshot wounds. He died. Somebody else died. And you didn't hear about this story unless you were listening to my show, because it got buried.
Right. And it will be. And not to take away anything from the tragedy that happened at Union Station. We saw that. We all felt that, because this is a safe space. We're supposed to be safe. We're with our kids down there. We're watching the parade. And that's not supposed to happen. And I think we are just so blind to it now that you read it here in the morning that there was shots fired on Woodland and someone's dead, and you don't even blink an
eye.
We're
numb to it.
Numb to it. Exactly numb to it. So this maybe is a wake-up call. My hearts go out to the victims and Miss Galvin that passed away and her family.
Right.
Hopefully from this tragedy, maybe something comes. Maybe it is a wake-up call. They say enough is enough. And let's do something about every gun crime that's going on.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, one of the big bugaboos I've had on this podcast, and Kurt's going to roll his eyes, but temporary tags, right? I would go home every day and I would see like a half dozen temporary tags that were out of date, some by years, right? And all of a sudden, we started enforcing that. And now maybe I see one a week. So that tells me that if we enforce the law, you know, some of this will take care of itself.
Well, I think you're right. I think that I would defer to the police department and say, do we have enough officers to do that?
Yeah.
Are they too busy with other things? They can't enforce temporary.
Well, my point is, you know, we're enforcing that law and we're seeing less of it. So perhaps if we enforced gun laws a little more stringently, we'd see less of that.
Makes sense. Definitely makes sense. More enforcement, more people you're touching with that law, then the less there is.
All right. Well, when you agree with me, that's when we wrap up the interview. Thank you so much for coming in. And please come back. I mean, I'd love to. This is a great back and forth. You and I probably on policy issues might disagree on some things. But my God, we can have a civil discussion and shed some light on it.
I think we need more of that.
Yeah.
You bet.
Thanks for coming.
You bet.
So here's the question for you. You still want to build a stadium downtown? I mean, we're going to have more on this coming up. We've got another special guest who was on the Kansas City City Council, and she is railing against moving the stadium from the Truman Sports Complex to downtown. And I've heard, Kurt, from people who say that if the Chiefs win another Super Bowl, we may well have the celebration at Arrowhead Stadium. And one of the things about the Truman Sports Complex, it acts as a sort of gated community, because you really got to want to be there to be there. And there are checkpoints that you're going to have to go through and pay significant dollars. So Thug 1 and Thug 2 can't just walk in with their automatic rifle.
Right.
So we'll find out more about that, because they want to put the stadium downtown right across I-670 from T-Mobile Center in an area with no parking. And can you imagine this now? Imagine what we just went through with the Super Bowl celebration. Baseball is 81 home games in the summer, in the hottest part of the summer, most of them at night. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, and then you have this walkway, if you're watching on video, which we strongly suggest that you do. You can see the proposed plan for the downtown stadium. And I find it interesting, too, because there's actually some bipartisan, if you want to call it that, or like left and right opposition to this plan now, because certainly I've been seeing, like, on Facebook and things, some friends of mine, many friends of mine that are my age and on the left, that are now opposing this new stadium plan because they're trying to build it in the Crossroads, which is like a historic district. And there's a lot of small businesses in the Crossroads that have been there for a long time.
Yep.
And, you know, this would kind of disrupt the local history and local economy of the Crossroads, which I certainly agree is a bad idea. So, so we're getting, I think, more support now against this. You know, they made a bad mistake by trying to propose it the Crossroads location instead of up north or wherever else they were looking at, because now a lot of the local, you know, art scene and things like that where that are located in the Crossroads are going to have a big problem with it.
Well, we're going to get into all this with Becky Nace, who was a member of the Kansas City Council here at some point. But one of the other issues that they talked about with respect to the Truman Sports Complex, there's an area to the south of the Truman Sports Complex that could be incorporated into whatever the hell they want to build out there. Right. So they've got the footprint they already have, plus a footprint to the south that they could continue to develop down there. Yeah. So
I live out there, not quite as close. I probably live a mile and a half from the stadium now, but I used to live like right behind it. We get the flyovers mm-hmm. over our house. I could hear Chiefs games and you know, Beyonce concerts or whatever from inside my house with the door closed. That's how close I was. And I mean, there's tons of woods and undeveloped land all around that area. Yeah. Now, I don't know who owns it. You know, that I'm sure that would be an issue, but there's lots of open land around that area. There's plenty of room, you know, for other things to be done.
If Jackson County is going to use eminent domain to run out a bunch of existing businesses from the Crossroads, they could surely, you know, buy some unincorporated wooded land, right?
Yeah.
So we'll get into all that later. Want to thank Royal Roofing and Solar for being part of the team here at Dale Carter's America. Austin Watterson and his family doing a terrific job. And especially now as we go into spring, it's time to assess the condition of your roof. And if you need a new roof, let these guys give you the bid. They did the roof over my house. I trust them. In fact, we did it in two stages, and I love the way my roof looks. And Mike Dale is their expert on solar. If it's your forever home, they've got a way that you can turn it into your own power generation unit, and he'll explain all that to you. So maybe as your Evergy bill goes up and up and up, you can find a way around that. Royal Roofing and Solar, you can reach them at 816-540-7057. I'm going to give you a couple of websites here. If you're into the solar thing and you want more information about that, Mike Dale will get with you on that at solarbyroyal.com. And for everything else, Royal, they can do a lot of work there. Royal Contracting KC.com. Fantastic family-owned company. Also want to thank Medicare Simplified KC. That's Kirk Doris and Lori Hocker. As I say on KFKF, if you're coming up on 65, Medicare is coming at you like a fast-moving train. With a lot of different ways that you could go forward on it, you need experts who can help you navigate those waters. Kirk Doris and Lori Hocker do that every day at Medicare Simplified KC. In fact, that's their website, MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. They're officed on Nolan Road in Independence. You can reach them on the phone at 816-701-6661. If you can't come to them, they'll come to you. If you've got somebody in your family fast approaching 65, maybe it's you. You really need to get the down low on this before you move forward. It's that complicated. Hey, it's from the government. What do you expect?
Right.
So our democracy is at stake, at risk. Make no mistake about that, as the Democrats continue to show us their blueprint. Now, we all remember 2016, the Russia hoax against Trump, that hung around through his entire presidency, that was a complete and utter lie. There was not an ounce of truth in it. Yet all the media jumped on board. Democrats from, you know, the CIA of all places jumped on board. Well, the plan now is to tie him up in court, and they are winning. As much as Kansas City is losing on the crime front, Democrats are winning because they've got this strategy. Make no mistake, it's a strategy. Another huge verdict goes against Donald Trump in New York. What was it, like $300-some-odd million?
Judge in Trump's New York fraud case orders him to pay $354 million in penalties plus millions more in interest.
And he can't run his own businesses for 3 years in New York. He's done in New York, basically. And Kathy Hochul, the governor, comes out and says to the businesses who might be concerned that they could be next, and Donald Trump aptly says, if they're going to do this to me, they'll do it to anybody.
Yeah.
They're coming for you next. And, you know, it's like Stalinist Russia. You know, you show me the man, I'll give you the crime. But Kathy Hochul says, it's just Trump. If you do what you're supposed to do as a business, you're fine in New York.
Which is bullshit because, I mean, there's tons of corruption all over the city, all over the city government. We have it here. They have it there. I mean, they have it in Georgia. And if you look at the prosecutors that have been brought on in these cases, you know, in New York with Letitia James, I believe her name is, she was basically brought into office on the premise
she
of
ran
prosecuting
on it.
Trump.
She ran on
it. She was like, I don't care what it is. We're going to get this guy, you know? And then the same thing with... in Georgia with Fannie Willis, she ran on prosecuting Trump. She ran on, you know, being getting rid of corruption and prosecuting corruption. Now, of course, it turns out that she's way more corrupt than she's even accusing him of. She's in court defending the allegations, you know, that she took the money for the prosecution, sent it to her lover, you know, brought on her lover. They went on extravagant, you know, sex trips across the world or whatever the heck they were doing. And so it's just... blatant political corruption.
I've watched a little bit of that trial down in Georgia on Fannie or Fonnie or whatever her name is. It's fascinating.
Should I pull up some clips?
Almost takes you back to Bill Clinton, right, in his testimony when he said it depends on the meaning of the word is. I mean, they're parsing everything on this. And, you know, I don't know. It just, to me, it's the blueprint, Kurt. This is the blueprint. They can't get him toe-to-toe with Joe Biden. Joe Biden has no prayer going up against Donald Trump toe-to-toe. So they've got to try and weight him down every place they can. So in every liberal jurisdiction where they have standing, they are taking him to court. In New York, there's not even a victim on this case.
Right, right.
There's no victim. The banks loaned him the money. He paid the money back.
Right.
The banks would love to give him more money. I'm not in the bag for Donald Trump. Don't mishear me on this. I'm talking about average, everyday Americans. They are setting the tone for how it is they'll deal with any of us who don't agree with them.
Yeah, and who get too much influence, you know? I mean, they're trying to take down Tucker Carlson. They tried to take down Alex Jones over the Sandy Hook stuff. He got fined like $600 billion or something crazy like that, you know? And so, obviously, it's not an equal application of the law. They're specifically going after these people. Like you said, find me the man, I'll find you the crime. And I just one clip from this Fannie testimony. It's only 15 seconds long, but I didn't watch the whole thing. I saw a bunch of clips of it. So she's the prosecutor in the Trump case in Georgia, but now she's on trial for corruption, like I said, because she paid a bunch of money to her lover, brought him on as the special prosecutor, and she admitted... in this trial, this is not this clip, but in this trial, she admitted to taking money from her campaign fund and pocketing it, essentially. But she's just so, stubborn, or like she has such an attitude of like entitlement, you know, like, oh, how dare you? How dare you come after me? You know,
it's a racist dog whistle.
This is just a small clip.
I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives. You're confused. You think I'm on trial. These people are on trial for trying to steal an election in 2020. I'm not on trial, no matter how hard you try to put me on trial. So
there you go.
It's like objection. No, objection, you. No, you objection.
I didn't go to law school, but I don't think you can object from the witness seat.
I don't think so.
Yeah, again.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Maybe Phil Lovato would know
that. But she's a strong, independent black woman, so she can do whatever she wants.
Okay, so, I mean, here's the question I have. Should red state DAs go after Biden? Do we fight fire with fire?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're getting pretty close to that point, if I'm being honest. You know, I think we rightly have played, you know, the game of let's take the high road and all this, you know, for a long time. And at some point, you know, practicality and pragmatism has to come before pure political philosophy.
Well, that's where I normally land. I was wondering where you, because you usually go the other way.
Well, it's just like, I mean, do we want to win, or do we want to say that we, you know, took the high road? You know,
do you believe them when they say this is just Trump? We're just going after Trump because he's a bad guy.
Of course not.
It's like I've always talked about. It's like Jurassic Park and they're the raptors. They're testing this fence. They're testing that fence.
Yeah.
And, you know, the next Republican who emerges, they've got the blueprint.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what do you do with a raptor or a shark, you know, like we live with sharks. What do they say about sharks? You're in a shark attack. What do you do? Do you say, no, don't eat me. Don't eat me. I'm innocent. I swear. No, you punch it in the mouth. You punch it in the mouth and it swims away. You know, that's the strategy with a shark. And that politically speaking, you know, I'm not arguing for violence, obviously, but politically speaking, we have to push back on these people and make them feel the political pain and pressure that they have created the environment and are trying to push on our people. We need to push on their people, and then maybe it'll stop. Because otherwise, we're just conceding. You know, yeah. we're just saying, oh well, you know, they're going to stop with Trump. Oh, you know, he's a bad guy. He's mean or whatever. And it's never going to stop. It's never going to stop. There will never be another Republican president. There will never be another, you know, populist conservative figure that has any sort of popularity in America, because they're just going to take him down. They'll take him to court. They'll bring out some 30-year-old rape allegation. They'll take all of his money, you know, and it's just never going to stop. So,
yeah. And he claims he never met that woman. And look at all the trouble he's in over that. Yeah. Okay. So up next, you've got Mayorkas, the HHS secretary. Impeached, first cabinet officer impeached since 1876. And we have a double standard on impeachment, because if you go back to when they impeached Donald Trump, not once but twice, all of the talking heads out there were saying impeachment, really what the definition of impeachment is anything a majority of the House of Representatives says it is. And it is very political. It's always political.
Right.
They're trying to say, oh no, you must have a legal standard for impeachment, right?
I mean, if that were the case, that would have to be codified into law, because that is not the case right now.
It's very vague in the Constitution.
Yeah, high crimes and misdemeanors. I mean,
right. So it comes
crimes
down to...
Crimes is in it. I mean, the word crime is in it, so that's one way to look at it.
Misdemeanors. I mean, what do they mean by that?
Right.
I mean, you know, it comes down to what a majority of the House thinks it is. And it's going to die in the Senate, so this is an exercise in futility anyway. I still think that the best way is to win in November, but they're making a statement. They're making a statement that's shining a light on what's happening on the southern border.
Right. And I think that is valuable. You know, I mean, it's like we talked about previously, say the Senate, you have a split Congress and you have the House that's Republican and the Senate that's Democratic. You know, maybe the House brings up a bill that they know the Senate isn't going to pass, but you still do it anyway. In my opinion, you still do it anyway, because you want these people on the record as to where they stand on certain issues. And you want to show that you're actually putting things into action and writing legislation to address the concerns that you were elected to address. You know, so my only question about this is, like, who is Mayorkas really? I mean, he's the DHS.
It's DHS.
Yeah.
He answers to
the Biden administration.
Right. It's ultimately Biden policy that he is implementing.
Yeah. So, I mean, shouldn't we impeach Biden if that's the case? I mean, if he's just...
Wake him up from his afternoon nap first. Give him a little ice cream so he can go do that. Okay. So, and then if you follow the news, you know how Putin handles his rivals. You know, we talked about the fact that his main rival was sent to an Arctic penal colony, and now that guy is dead. And they won't release the body for an autopsy. Wonder why.
Hmm. I didn't know that part.
Yeah. This is how Putin deals with it. And he's got a crackdown going in Russia. If you disagree with him on any level, you're going to jail. And I think the Democrats look at that and they go, I think he's got that part right. You know, we're going to go after our opponent in court. And man, look what Putin's doing. He killed his opponent, allegedly.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's like almost the same strategy, but for opposite ends. You know, Putin is using a strong arm, some would say authoritarian tactics, you know, which we don't support, but he's using it to support and defend his nation. He's a very nationalist leader. He's doing what he thinks is best.
Surely you're not defending your opponents in jail.
No, killing them. But I'm saying like he's doing the bad thing as he sees it in order to protect his nation's sovereignty, whereas our leaders are doing the bad thing in order to completely eliminate our nation's sovereignty. They're going out of their way to, you know, cut down border fence, to throw the people who actually want to protect America first in jail. I don't support the tactic in either case, but it's just interesting the priorities of our leaders.
Well, in light of the fact that everybody on the left and in the CIA community and all that, and the Democrats and the media were saying that Donald Trump was a Russian agent or whatever, that he and Putin are really tight and all that. Did you see that Putin basically endorsed Joe Biden for president? He'd rather have Joe Biden.
Yeah, he said that in an interview, and I am stalling because there's an ad.
Wonder why he would want Joe Biden to be president, you know? And I was having this discussion while you're looking for that with one of my friends, and she and I are on opposite sides and all that. And I said, if you can get past the fact that you hate Trump, you can't stand Trump, okay, and just look at the policy out there. What policy that Joe Biden has supported or implemented could you possibly support? And she said, well, you know, it's foreign policy, you know. I'm like, okay, really? Foreign policy? Because I can go back to the Biden administration from the disastrous withdrawal in Afghanistan, right, to emboldening our enemies. You know, why do you think Russia went into Ukraine? You think they would have done that if Donald Trump was president? I don't think so. Would China have floated a slow-moving balloon over the United States with Donald Trump as president? I don't think so. And, you know, he got back in bed with the Iranians. And what did they do? They sent money to Hamas and they attacked Israel. Yeah, his foreign policy is awesome. We need more of that. Four more years.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So you find the clip?
I did. Let's check it out. Maybe no audio? Oh, audio's off. There we go.
Это их дела. Я-то считаю, что ну это вообще ни к чему уже. Пусть тогда платят нам за то, что
Байден. Он человек более опытный.
He's the more
прогнозируемый.
He's predictable.
He's
an old school politician, but
мы будем работать с любым лидером США, которому окажет доверие американский народ.
Послушайте, я когда встречался с Байденом в Швейцарии,
three years.
Ну, и тогда уже говорили о том, что он не дееспособен. Ничего подобного я не увидел. Ну да, он подглядывал свою бумажку. Я, честно говоря, подглядывал свою. Ничего такого не... Ну, то, что он где-то, выходя из вертолета, ударился головой
о
этот вертолет. Но кто у нас не ударился?
Пусть
первый бросит.
Well, he's endorsing Joe Biden. So make of that.
Yeah, what, I would call that a soft endorsement. But
Yeah. You know, we talk about the media being in the tank for Democrats. We talk about that a lot because, honestly, it's there. I mean, all you have to do is watch MSNBC or CNN or, heck, any of the three networks, and you'll see that they're in the tank for Democrats. An update on the Odyssey bankruptcy. Odyssey is the second largest radio station company in America. Okay, behind iHeart. They own thousands of American radio stations, and they filed bankruptcy. Well, our old friend George Soros, right, the funder of liberal DAs across America, the guy who has made soft on crime the policy in major cities. How's that working out? How's that working out in Kansas City? He's the defund the police guy. Well, now he owns an equity stake in the second largest radio company in America. What might he do, Kurt, with those radio stations?
Well,
where do you think conservative talk on those radio stations is going?
Yeah, I wonder about that, you know, about how many of those stations are conservative talk stations. What about the one here is Cumulus, right?
Well, KMBZ is the talk station here that Odyssey owns.
Right, but that's not the conservative. I'm thinking of KCMO.
Well, KCMO is Cumulus.
Cumulus, right.
But KMBZ for years and years was the Rush Limbaugh station.
Right, right.
Boy, where would Rush be today with George Soros becoming the biggest stockholder in Odyssey?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And, you know, it's interesting. I think he's done this with other companies, too. They go bankrupt, and then he sort of assumes their debt.
What's his end game? What does he want for America?
World domination. I mean, that seems like pretty evident to me, but
all right. Well, that's just, we'll just throw that out there as a factoid today that you can chew on. Meanwhile, chew your food slowly. and swallow it and, you know, make sure everything gets digested well so that your digestive tract is working properly. I think that's the advice you'd get from Dr. Mark Terramina. He's at Midwest GI Health and Wellness. He was our guest last week. If you missed that podcast episode, go back and watch it, because after we lost Toby Keith to stomach cancer, Dr. Terramina was a great interview to have on to talk about the things that you need to do to avoid that, the symptoms you should be looking for, and when you should get that colonoscopy and the upper GI as well. They can do both at Midwest GI Health and Wellness. And we found out last week, you don't even need a referral anymore from your general physician. If you've got some issues going on there, or you are 45 or older and have not had a colonoscopy, call the folks at Midwest GI Health and Wellness in Lee's Summit. They get great ratings, 4.9 out of 5 stars on Google. That is the highest rating in Kansas City. They'll take care of you from start to finish. I know the prep isn't a lot of fun. I've done this myself. But once you have it, and he comes in with a smile on his face that says, you're all clean and good, come back and see me in 10 years, or we found some polyps we're going to send off, but it's so early, we're going to be able to take care of this. That's the news that you want. You don't want to wait and wait and wait and go in and have them find colon cancer at stage 4 and they can't do anything about it. So this could well save your life. Call Midwest GI Health and Wellness and set the appointment, 816-836-2200. Trust me on this.
Tremendous people.
I got to get you some new drops for that. You will definitely thank me for this.
I like that one. It's a good one.
Which one?
Tremendous people.
Tremendous people.
Tremendous people.
And Jim Dingman, a tremendous person, United States Marine Corps veteran, you know, Semper Fi. He's just a fantastic guy who owns 2 locations of Funhouse Pizza. After you have gone through the entire experience there at Midwest GI Health and Wellness, you're going to be really hungry. You're going to be able to put away a large Funhouse Pizza all by yourself. And they come piled high with toppings. The beverages are cold. The atmosphere is fun. The kids love to go there. In fact, if you've got your pre-meeting coming up for Little League Baseball, it's a great place to take the team. Have your meeting with the parents. And while you're dealing with the serious stuff with the parents, let the kids go play some foosball or something. They've got all kinds of fun things for any kind of a gathering. Funhouse Pizza, 2 locations, 50 Highway in Lee's Summit. They're also on 7 Highway in Blue Springs. And Jim Dingman is a big believer in what we're doing here on the podcast, and we love having him along.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, so we didn't talk about this beforehand. At least I don't think we did. I got to host the gubernatorial debate.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that?
We talked about it before you did it, but we haven't talked about it since then.
And the airport Hilton. It was interesting. I don't like things like that because there was no back and forth. There was no debate per se. Oh, it was basically I ask a question and we went round robin and they made speeches. So I have invited all 4 of them to come onto the podcast at some point because there were some interesting things. Oh, there you got there was video shot, huh?
Yep.
You're going to see me in a suit.
Oh, barely.
Barely.
You're
I'm right
all
there's my
the way
face
on the
over
side there.
There. That's the timekeeper next to me.
I see your classic glasses, you know, down on the nose like this. That's how I know that.
Hey, I need that. That's an important deal right there.
You're reading your notes.
So there are 4 candidates for the Republican nomination, and chances are very good that whoever gets this nomination will be the next governor of the state of Missouri. And in order there, as you're seeing them on the video screen from left to right, that is Senator Bill Eigel from St. Charles County. The man who is standing and speaking right now is not a politician. That's Chris Wright, an Army veteran and National Guardsman based out of Joplin. Now standing up on the video is the Secretary of State of Missouri, Jay Ashcroft, and next to him is the Lieutenant Governor of the state, Mike Kehoe. Now, any of the 4 of them, I think, would be better than what the Democrats are going to put up, because my understanding is the 2 candidates on the Democrat side come from old money in Missouri, their families are Republicans, and they're spending their trust funds by being do-gooder Democrats, is essentially the story that I got. Mm. Maybe we should do some more research on that. And I don't want to pick sides here, but what I can tell you is that Senator Eigel, to me, was the most impressive. He's a guy who basically says that Missouri is supposed to be a red state, yet Iowa and Arkansas are kicking our ass. And we've got people down in Jeff City that are Republicans in name only. And like, you know, what we talked about with Phil Lavota, they actually passed a bill, bipartisan bill, in the Missouri House that said you can't fire a gun at a celebratory event anymore. And they think they're good and done over what happened at Union Station. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It's a ridiculous bill. I mean, I was
ridiculous.
Not, I was not on camera or microphone when you guys talked about that. But it's like, again, I live out by the stadiums. I've lived in the hood. I mean, I had just a quick story. The 4 years ago, I think, I was out in Lawrence for New Year's, and I came home at around 2 a.m., and there was a bullet hole in my bedroom. A bullet went through my wall, through my ceiling fan, and out the other side of my wall. There was, you know, drywall everywhere. Thankfully, I wasn't home when it happened. But you really think, like, this bill out of Jefferson City, those people are going to, you know, see that and be like, oh, wow.
It's
like,
wow, that's illegal. I better not do that anymore.
Give me a freaking break.
Some people will. I mean, some people who do follow the law and want to be on the right side of the law might say, okay, maybe that's not a good idea.
Right, but it's already illegal to fire off a firearm within city limits. That's already illegal. Yeah. Unless you're on your own property, you know, within a certain, outside of a certain distance of buildings and roads and things like that. These laws already exist. Yeah. Nobody cares.
So, exactly. Anyways. And as we say, the thugs aren't really reading the latest out of Jefferson City and going, oh my God, that's illegal. I better not do that. So Bill Eigel is also the guy who wants to do away with personal property tax and the income tax in Missouri.
Let's go.
I mean, he's like speaking my language. I'm over there salivating going, my God. And he's like, Tennessee did it. Florida did it. Texas did it. Why can't we? Why do you have to pay a tax every year just because you drive a car?
Yeah.
That's crazy. And so I think I'm on board there. And then Jay Ashcroft, who seems like a nice guy, he's the Missouri Secretary of State. I've known that name for a long time. His dad was the governor of the state of Missouri. His dad was a senator for a long time. And his dad was Attorney General, I believe, under George W. Bush, maybe. I know he was Attorney General. Anyway, nice guy and all that. But when we
this is him, right?
Yeah, that's him. When I asked the question about military veterans and the military, I said, how can Missouri better support our veterans and active duty military personnel? Now, he did not serve. Two of the people on that panel, including Eigel, did serve. He stood up and he said, I don't think we should separate groups. I mean, I appreciate what the military does, but why should they get any benefits? And I'm thinking, really? You're saying this in a room full of red-blooded, rock-ribbed conservative Republicans?
Yeah. Read the room, bro. Jeez.
I thought he stumbled there a little bit. But then, you know, I also put out the admonition that they weren't supposed to speak negatively about each other. And Eigel kind of crossed that line a little bit. He made reference to being in this race to do what was right for Missouri and not because of what his last name was or what his dad did. And you could just see Ashcroft like turning bright red. And after the forum was over, I was talking to a bunch of people right there at the table, and he came over to the chairman of the Republican Party and just lit him up like the 4th of July and stormed out.
Give me a freaking break, man. You know, I just want to say something about that. All's fair in love and war. Politics is nonviolent warfare. That's right. What it is. I mean, so if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. I mean, there should be, you know, name calling, pop shots at these people. You know, it's all fair game. We saw it with Trump. He had a nickname for everybody, and honestly, I love it. I mean, you know, let's like crank it up a notch.
Well, let me just tell you,
We're being too nice. Let's stop being nice. You know, you're running against this guy. You think he's bad. And just go at it. If he can't take it, then he's not going to win.
On your Trump Richter scale, Eigel was about a 1.5. I mean, it was barely anything.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. I mean, it's Missouri politics. It's not a nationally televised, you know, debate or anything like that. So I'm sure it's very mild.
I was impressed with him. You know, Mike Kehoe's an impressive guy, too. I don't think Chris Wright has a prayer. He's a nice guy. He was in law enforcement, and he served his country in the Army and the National Guard, which we really appreciate his service and all that. I honestly think it comes down to Ashcroft, Kehoe, or Eigel. I'd love to have these guys on to talk because Eigel was right. You know, if you look at what Arkansas and what Iowa are doing with school choice, they are conservative states run by very good conservative governors right now.
Right.
And Missouri is falling way behind with a lot. And I don't know what the governor can do by himself. Mike Parson is a really nice guy. I've had him on my show before. I just don't know that he's as rock-ribbed conservative as he needs to be.
Yeah, and it's probably part of it, too, is just getting into the office. You know, you campaign a certain way, then you get into the office, and most people cave. Most people get soft. And that's also part of campaigning. You know, when you campaign, you're supposed to exaggerate. You know, you're supposed to give the most red meat, the most exciting version of your message, so that when you get into office, you can at least get something done in that direction. You know, obviously, you're not going to get everything done that you want to, but to just stand up there and be vanilla and boring is just not going
to
cut it.
Well, Mike Parson, you have to remember, he got the job when the other guy, Eric... Greitens.
Yeah.
You know, he had his problems,
yeah,
and he had to go. So that's how Parson got the job. I wonder if he would have, if he had gone through this meat grinder that these other guys are going through, if he would have emerged as the candidate for governor. But, you know, we'll never know that.
He did win re-election, right?
Right.
After he got the job.
He did.
Yeah. But he didn't have to go through the primaries.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In the first place, like Greitens did. That was a nasty primary run, too. You may recall that.
Yep.
I remember. Yeah. So anyway, I put the invitation out. Would love to hear from all of them and get their views. And, you know, hopefully as civil as we did with Democrat Phil Lavota. we put the invitation out to lots of folks, and you get to see them and hear their views here on Dale Carter's America, which is brought to you by Michael Schroer, real estate professional at Remax Heritage. You can reach him at 816-783-5800 or 816-520-9342. Normally, we don't give out phone numbers like on the radio and commercials because it just goes and goes fast. But I think on the podcast, you could rewind, right?
Yeah, you can pause, you can rewind.
So said that too fast, you could rewind it. He's a lifelong Kansas City resident, and if this is the time for you to move on, if you're ready to move, he is the guy. He can get it done for you. He's got all the knowledge required to help you find just the right home for your needs. If you're looking for your first home, your forever home, maybe some land to build your dream home on, something in between, he'll take care of you. His client's best interest, always priority, number one, and he is licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. He's the official real estate professional of Dale Carter's America. If you're looking to move, Michael Schroer is the guy that you need to be talking to. You can find him on his website at michaelschroer.com, and the last name spelled S-C-H-R-O-E-R, michaelschroer.com. So yeah. Thanks.
And it's important too, because, you know, there's a lot of these things. You know, there's a ton of realtors out there. There's a ton of roofers out there. There's a ton of doctors. But knowing that it's somebody who supports this podcast, shares our values, and, you know, does a good job and has good reviews and things like that, it's important to support those who support us. So please do that.
And that's why Bob Watson was the first to jump on board. And we thank him for being part of Dale Carter's America. He's been part of my life for nearly 30 years, insuring my house and all those hairy-legged boy drivers that I had at my house. And to the extent that Bob and I both have a little gray in our hair, my sons are probably the reason. 7th and Main in Blue Springs. He'll take care of you. He and his wonderful staff. 816-229-7878. 816-229-7878. I just saw a report that insurance is one of the hardest hit areas in terms of inflation. Let State Farm give you a rate quote, because just because you're getting cut rate insurance somewhere else does not mean you're getting what you need, and that's the service when the shit hits the fan. And that's where Bob Watson comes in. Auto, home, life, he'll insure your business. They do health insurance. They'll do pet insurance. Did you hear we're getting a new puppy at my house?
Oh, really? I did not hear that. Oh,
God. And people are like, what are you thinking? I'm like, I live with this woman. That's what she wants, right? And you'll find out. I mean, you're fairly new to this whole marriage thing.
We're
right?
not getting any pets anytime soon, I'll tell you that much.
I want to see how that works when she wants something and you put your foot down and say,
happening. No, that's, I'm the one that wants a dog. She doesn't want pets.
Well, we're going to have our second one. A brother to baby Harry, by the way. Full brother. So we'll see how that works out, and I'll report back to you on that. But they do pet insurance at State Farm, and Bob Watson can be the conduit for that. 816-229-7878. Before we leave you on this jam-packed episode, I saw this cross the wire. same-sex marriage is now legal in Greece. How does that hit you? Because in my world, I could care less. I really could. I mean, you know, I work for a gay general manager who's married to a man. I mean, I've been around gay people since I could remember, since high school. So none of that has ever bothered me. But when I think about Greece, and you think about history of Greece, you know, they got all that naked wrestling going on. Have you seen, like, the images of that? The naked wrestling. And of course, there's...
No, that's not in my wheelhouse.
And there's jokes, too, like, you know, he turned on you like a Greek waiter. I mean, you've heard that joke before, right?
I have heard that joke.
I mean, so aren't you shocked that just now same-sex marriage is legal in Greece?
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know. I mean, it is an Orthodox, it's saying here in the CNN headline as well, but, you know, it is a pretty heavily Orthodox country, so maybe that's why it, you know, it took them this long to do it, but... Yeah, I don't know. How many people in Greece are actually gay? I mean, who cares? You know, I don't know.
Again, there's so many jokes. I mean, the jokes write themselves.
Let's hear them.
Greece, you know, where men are men and boys are maybe a little afraid.
Oh, boy. Wow.
And again, if you go back into history and you see all that naked wrestling going on, I am just shocked. I don't care either way, but I'm shocked that same-sex marriage is finally legal in the country of Greece. Well,
this is... really stupid. I'm admitting I don't know this. The Olympics was Greece, right? Or was that Rome?
The original Olympics.
Okay, I'm not stupid.
No.
Because you know that they did that naked, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Go back to the images of that.
Okay. I didn't realize you were talking about the Olympics. I thought you were talking about like something contemporary, like they're doing like naked mud wrestling like now. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I mean, you got two men wrestling naked. Something slips into something that ain't supposed to slip into, you know? You've got the first gay marriage.
Yep,
and I'm going to leave it right there. Until next week, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.